Hey, tonight is Monday night, November 2nd, or Tetzayin Cheshbon. This is the Gemara Shir, we're up to Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Mesech Sukkah. Okay, Rabotai, we're on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We're exactly in the middle of the page, Lema Kitanoi. The Gemara raised the question as to whether or not we apply the concept of dichui in relationship to mitzvot. We explained what dichui is, that you can have a situation where something was eligible and was disqualified, and then the reason for its disqualification was eliminated. Again, the classic example was by korban. You put an animal on the Mizbeach, ready to be slaughtered. The Mizbeach was chipped, disqualifying the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is now repaired. The animal is considered rejected, nidcheh, because there is a concept of dichui by kodshim. No doubt. We explained that it applies to treifa as well, to isurei achila. The question is, does it apply to mitzvot? What is the case here? We had a situation whereby the hadas was chopped off on the top, niktam rosho. And then, sometime after it was severed from the tree, sometime later, it grew a bloom, a little flower, a bud, that covered the deficiency. So the question is, do we say yesh dichui etzel mitzvos or not? That once a hadas was disqualified, it's no longer suitable, despite the fact that the reason for its disqualification has suddenly disappeared. That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara tried to resolve it from the halacha of kisui hadam. The Gemara was unsuccessful. And right now the Gemara is at the point, lema kitanoi. The Gemara is going to suggest, and this is where we're at the end of the show, we'll start at that point now again. Lema kitanoi. Let us suggest that this issue, whether yesh dichui or ain dichui, is in effect a machloikis tanoi. Smack in the middle of the page, there's a star next to the word lema. Lema kitanoi. Here is the machloikis. Avar veloktan pasul. If you have a hadas with more berries than leaves, the Mishnah said that it's pasul. What happens if you went ahead and you plucked them on Yom Tov? Hey, you want to, because you're not supposed to do so, but you did so. We want to focus now on the hadas itself. Avar v'lukta. Pasul, divi Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says it's pasul. Rabbi Lezer b'tzavah. The Chachamim machshirin. And the Chachamim say such a hadas is acceptable. So the Gemara thinks that this might revolve around three possible issues. Any one of the three might serve as what? As the point of departure between Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok and the Chachamim. Initially, the Gemara is going to suggest that on two of the three, which are not our issue, there is common agreement. So if on two of the issues there is common agreement, what is the only thing which they could be arguing about? The issue related to us. Yesh dichui or ein dichui. The Gemara will then say, no, there is no compelling need to say that. Maybe they don't really argue about whether yesh dichui or ein dichui. Perhaps they're arguing about some of the other reasons which might explain the difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. So let's see how the Gemara proceeds. Savrua, the Gemara is of the opinion now, Dekuli Alma, Lulav, Ein Tzorach Agad, that everybody agrees that a Lulav does not have to be tied together with the Hadassim and the Aravos. It does not have to. And if you would like to suggest that it does have to be tied together, and that enables you to look at what? At the lulav, the hadas, and the arava, as a chetzah shel mitzvah, where you made a chetzah shel mitzvah, I emphasize, you made a chetzah shel mitzvah, doing what? Tying the knot. So if you should assume that lulav tzorach agad, they also agree, lo yalfinan lulav misuka b'chsiv bota aseh v'lo mina asui. They both agree that we do not compare lulav to sukkah. What is the halacha by sukkah? By sukkah, where the Torah says, chag ha-sukkos ta'aseh lecha, you must engage in an action which actually creates the kosher sukkah. But you cannot make your sukkah so that it would be what? Puzzle, and then remove the reason for its psul and expect the sukkah to become kosher automatically. Again, when you make a sukkah, the last act that you do has to render the sukkah itself into a kosher sukkah. But if I go ahead and make my sukkah, and it is still not kosher because of a disqualification, and all I do is remove that disqualification, the sukkah is not acceptable for Yom Tov. That is the violation of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. So I gave the illustration. You took a sukkah and you built your walls and you had tzchach on the sukkah that was still attached to the tree. There was a branch hanging out, and I built my sukkah directly underneath the branch. The halacha is that schach attached to the ground is not acceptable. Now all I did was cut the branches off, and now they are no longer tied to the tree. That is a violation of tasav alemin asui, because the last thing that I did was not put up kosher schach. The last thing that I did was cut off the pasul schach from the tree. That is a violation of tasav alemin asui. If we were to compare lulav to what? Lulav to sukkah, the exact same disqualification could have explained our Gemara as well. What happened? I took the hadas with its more berries than leaves, and put it into the agudah. Good. So now when you make your lulav, what has to happen when you make the lulav? It must be ready to go. You take your hadas and arava, tie it to the lulav, right in here. But right now, it's not ready to go. Why is it not ready to go? Because there are more berries than leaves. So now all I did, while it was in it, I snipped off the berries on the side. So the last action that I did to create this chetzah was not tying them together. The last act which I did was cutting off some berries. That would have been a violation of tasav alem and asav. But now the Gemara says, no. Nobody believes that the psul of tasav alem and asav applies to lulav. Nobody believes. So everyone is of the opinion, A, that lulav ain't tzarech agad. So if lulav ain't tzarech agad, there is no real making of the chetzah shel mitzvah, and as a result, you can't speak of the hadas ever been disqualified. It hasn't been disqualified yet because it hasn't become a mitzvah yet. Even if you wanted to claim that there is a halach of lulav tzarech agad, it could not be disqualified based on the rationale of tasav alem and asui. Why could it not be disqualified? Because that psul is limited only to sukkah, because that's where it appears. Because the word ta'aseh is recorded in conjunction with the mitzvah of sukkah. Chag ha-sukkot ta'aseh lecha. So now, if everybody is in agreement of A and B, what must be the only debate between Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok and the Chachamim? My love, b'hakam iflagi. Demand the pasil savar amrinan yeshdi chuyetzol mitzvot. Uman the machshir savar lo amrinan yeshdi chuyetzol mitzvot. The one, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, who says that this hadas is pasul, he holds yesh dichui etzel mitzvos. Because I had a hadas that was disqualified. Why? It had more berries. Now what did I do? I eliminated the source of disqualification by cutting off some berries. He believes yesh dichui etzel mitzvos. Just as a korban is pasul, despite the fact that I removed its disqualification, so too a hadas is pasul, despite the fact that I removed its disqualification. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok says, avar v'loktan is pasul. The Chachamim will obviously believe that ein dichui eto mitzvos, that there is no application of this particular law of what? Of dichui etzel mitzvos, and as a result, there was no reason for what? To disqualify it. Because even though it was unsuitable, once you remove its source of disqualification, cutting off the berries, it's perfectly okay. Because the concept of dichui, rejection, doesn't apply to mitzvot. It's limited to korban and isurei achila. That's what the Gemara suggests right now. What the Gemara will do in a minute and say, no. Who said that we are right in our analysis? Maybe what? That they all agree there is no such thing as dichui etzel mitzvos. So what is the point of contention? One of the other two issues, which the Gemara will suggest in just a moment. But let me stop right here for a minute and just analyze the two premises which the Gemara believes there is unanimity of opinion on. Number one, whether yalit sukkah me lulav, whether we learn lulav from sukkah. If you take a look for a minute, please open up to daf memvav omud aleph for a second. Memvav omud aleph, top choices on the page. Top choices. The Gemara said, "Ha'oseh sukkah le'atzmo mevarech shechianu." Anybody who builds his own sukkah makes a shechianu when you build the sukkah. That's what the Gemara said. Look at the third line of the Taisus. Taisus calls a Yerushalmi. Ve'ika tana detani b'Yerushalmi. There is ena tana, one of the Tanaim, recorded in the Yerushalmi, the Perek Haroeh, and the ninth Perek of Maseches Brachos. Also la'atzmo mivarech la'asal sukkah. If you build a sukkah for yourself, you say ashekedeshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu la'asot sukkah. Also la'acher, if I build your sukkah, I also make a bracha. What do I say? Mivarech, and the Gaon, there's an aleph there in the brackets, the Gaon amends it, he says, you say, al-asiyah sukkah. Al-asiyah sukkah. Instead of the mid form, you say the al form. That Yerushalmi happens to be the basis of one of the Rambam's rules of Hilchot Brachot. Whenever you see a bracha of a mitzvah, you know there are two types of formulations. One is with the le form, le hadlik ner shel Shabbos, le shape asukah, likrois ahalel. At other times, there's the al form. So the Rambam has six halachot in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Brachos, six different criteria. When do you say Mavid? When do you say Al? There's 68,000 different opinions about this. Rule number one of the Rambam is, if you do a mitzvah for yourself, you use the lamed form. If you do a mitzvah for somebody else, you use the al form. If it's, and there are 68 other criteria. That's all you got to know for now. For example, says the Rambam, if I have my house and I put up my own mezuzah, I say ashek to the shana mitzvos and tivano likboa mezuzah. If I put up a mezuzah in your house, you say al kviat mezuzah. If you have a child, a boy, on the eighth day, and you will circumcise the little pitcher, you will say asheke deshana b'mezuzah v'tzivanu lo mul et b'ni. If you're Patenstein and you're not
circumcising your own kid, but thousands of others, you say Avamila. So too the Yerushalmi says, what's this business about making a Shechiyanu when you build a sukkah? If you believe that there is a mitzvah to make a sukkah, you make the bracha on making a sukkah. Asher kereshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu la'asos sukkah. If I know this to somebody else, you say, alasiya sukkah. That's it, very simple. So that's how the Yerushalmi differentiates between ha'osa sukkah la'atzmo as opposed to the Bavli. The Bavli says, if I build my sukkah, I make a shechiyan. If I build your sukkah, I don't make any bracha whatsoever. That's the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi obviously believes that there is real significance to what? Building a sukkah. Since there is real halakhic significance to building a sukkah, you can understand why there is such a psul called ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. That when you construct the sukkah, it must be done the way the halacha dictates. How does the halacha dictate? That when you do your sukkah, the last thing that you do should make it into a kosher sukkah. That means you put up the walls, do whatever else you want, now put up the schach, it's a kosher sukkah. But if after you put up the schach, it's still not a kosher sukkah because there is an extraneous problem, it's underneath the tree, whatever it is. If using the tree branches, as I illustrated before, whatever it is, under those circumstances, the sukkah is possible. Because it's not ta'aseh, that's where it's created. It's ta'aseh, but I mean also. From this Yerushalmi, you really see how the Yerushalmi puts teeth into the mitzvah of asiyah sukkah, and we can understand why there is a psul of ta'aseh, but I mean also.
The Bavli wants to be the Shachianu.
Correct. The Yerushalmi says you don't say Shechiyanu.
So who puts the emphasis about the Yerushalmi?
The Yerushalmi even more. Because you say a bracha on the mitzvah. Going to the Yerushalmi, Chutabal Yemei Shechiyanu, Shechiyanu is associated with simcha. I'm happy to put up the sukkah. Sukkah's time. You always have to make a Shechiyanu once in the context of sukkah. The Bavli says it doesn't have to be on what? On the city. When you build it, it's just as much simcha. In fact, people are very, you know, they express that. Yes. I don't deny it. Correct. I know that. I just want to read to you the Rambam's words. The Rambam's words in his tshuva, tshuva number kuf chaf aleph, says the Rambam. She'ein shum kiyum ba'asiyata. There is not one significant ounce of activity in the building of a sukkah. Ve'ena anachnu osin osa zulati kedei lashevet va. You only make the sukkah for one reason. Because if you don't make it, you can't sit in it. But there is no halakhic significance whatsoever to the making of a sukkah. And indeed, the Nitziv, in his commentary in Hamed Shela, finds it a little difficult if you deny any spiritual significance, why suddenly there's a Cheftes Shel Mitzvah by lots of mitzvahs. Right? We don't find the Psul of Tasev Leminasuli unless the Torah uses the word Tasev. But there are plenty of other Cheftes Shel Mitzvahs. But if there's no difference qualitatively to making a sukkah and baking a matzah, to making a sukkah and making a shofar, why should there be a difference? Why should there be a halakh of tasev leminasu? If there is no significance to the asiyah, your argument that there is a cheftes shel mitzvah, there is a cheftes shel mitzvah by a lulav. Why is there no tasev leminasu? But the tasev doesn't mean anything according to the Rambam.
It's a definition of the criteria that definition.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to say. All I'm saying to you is that the Nitziv points out that he finds it much more plausible when you invest in some spiritual significance in the making, that there should be criteria to how you make it. But if you claim that the whole purpose is what? To sit in the darn sukkah, who cares how you made it?
Am I tzitzis? We say that you have the same argument. But there's no mitzvah to make tzitzis.
Yeah, that's the question.
Why is there a difference? There is that halacha possible on an asur. So you have to see why. What's there? What is there to? That's correct. Yes.
I know that we're making this. You know, we could say learning lulav from sukkah or not learning sukkah. But alternatively, we have this bracha that the pasuk says, "Yekachem lachem by yom harishon," and yet we have a bracha of al mitzilatun.
Right.
Following the Rambam, the al.
Okay, that's the kasha. The Rambam holds you say lito.
Okay.
The Rambam says if you made the bracha before you picked it up, because once you picked it up, there's another rule. You already packed the yotzei, so you make it up. So if you brought, according to the Rambam, you put the lulav right in front of you, you say litol, you pick it up, and that's it. Rambam, read the next two halachas. There's six halachas at the end of Hilchos Brachos about that. That's point number one.
This whole idea of chatzah mitzvah, I mean, we definitely...
Okay. Point number two. One of the most unusual applications of this halacha is a machloikis, the Maram Rutenberg and the Rush. One of the most unusual applications I've ever seen. How he applies our Gemara, the Yesh Dichui or Ein Dichui, in the following case. Listen to this case. There is a halacha, somebody's parent or brother or sister dies, a spouse, you have to sit shiva. You can only be chayiv in avelus if you know about the passing of the person. What happens if the person passes away, is buried? I was never informed. So the Gemara discusses what's called Shmua Krova versus Shmua Rechaika. Shmua Krova means you heard it relatively close to when the person passed away. That's defined as 30 days. If you hear it within 30 days, you sit a full shiva. If, however, you hear about it after 30 days, that's called Shmua Rechoka, and all you do is sit one morning of shiva, one day of shiva, and that's it. All you say. So in communities where before telephones and things like that, people thought that this halacha Shmua Rechoka and Shmua Rechoka was nice in the Chol Yom. Because somebody died in Europe, how are you supposed to know about it? It's all the way in. Impossible to know about it. Right? Took a while. So that was... Today it's virtually inapplicable, except if you have somebody who you don't want to tell. Have an elderly parent. So then, if it's going to... So you'll ask the Rav, he'll tell you, don't tell them till after the Shloshim. And then you'll tell them, don't have to sit one day Shiva, because it's too difficult to sit 7 days of Shiva. But, very nice. Here is the case. A boy who's going to be bar mitzvah in 2 weeks. His father passed away 2 weeks before his bar mitzvah. He was unaware of the fact that his father passed away 2 weeks before his bar mitzvah. The day after he reaches Gil Mitzvot, he finds out about the fact that his father died. Okay? Here comes one piece of information that you need. Ein chinuch la'avelus. The mitzvah of chinuch does not apply to avelus. Does not apply. So, when the person passed away, what status was this child in relationship to what? His obligation to sit shiva. None. He had no obligation to sit shiva. Now, 2 weeks later, he is informed, and now he's bar mitzvah. Says the Maram Rutenberg, as to whether or not he is obligated to sit shiva or not, depends on our Gemara. If you hold yesh dichui eitzel mitzvot, that means that somebody who was scheduled to do something had a mitzvah upon him. What mitzvah was upon him? Avelus. But it was pushed aside for a reason. Why was the mitzvah pushed aside? Because he wasn't bar mitzvah yet. Now suddenly he gets bar mitzvah within 2 weeks later. If you hold yesh dichui eitzel mitzvot, that means he's never obligated to sit shiva again for this loss.
If you hold ein dichui etzel mitzvos, under those circumstances, says the Maharam, he's obligated to sit shiva. Because the mere fact that there was something at the time, 2 weeks ago, which indicated to us that this person should not sit shiva, well, that is not a factor in determining that now he should sit shiva. Now he should sit shiva. Not a factor. Fine? That's what the Maharam of Rutenberg said. Comes along his Talmid, the Rosh, and says, Rebbe, the Chilus Kvaitcha, I disagree. Tell me what the difference is in that case versus any of the other cases we've discussed. Tell me the difference.
Precisely.
Says the Rosh, in order to have the concept of dichui, you have to at least be obligated, and then the obligation deferred because of an extraneous reason. Like here in our case, you're obligated to take arba minim. The mitzvah lulav is there. What's the problem? You can't use it because that's not there. But with this little kid who's 12 and 9/10, he's not obligated. So what do you mean he's been rejected from the mitzvah of Eilus? Hasn't been rejected from the mitzvah of Eilus. The mitzvah of Eilus has never come yet. So in 2 weeks, when the mitzvah finally comes upon him and he is informed about the tragic death, under those circumstances, let him go ahead and sit shiva. Yes.
That sounds like the bichum eikar type of argument.
Good.
Which should apply to the hadas that has the berries that was grown for more berries also. And hadas that grew, the question about
berries.
No, it's the question that bichui, regarding the hadas, doesn't relate to the person, it relates to the chetzah. So a hadas that grew with more berries shouldn't be categorized as being nidcheh.
It is, because it's now the first day of Yosef. And it's in your alula. It's in your agar.
It grew that way.
But it's now in your agar. If you hold on to it, there's nothing to talk about. You're right. The Gemara is going to say right. Mutar, it is in the igud.
But it's like an animal that was born with the mum, and even though now you want to bring it to the mizbeach, after the mum is released, it removed because it's not subject to hold the idche. It chetas. It's saying you can. They argue
right.
It's a dichum ikara. You can remove.
Okay. So you want to argue from that point of view? I'm not saying it's wrong. No problem. The Rosh and the Maram use the same machlokes in a more famous case. Somebody was an onain. Somebody died Friday afternoon. I mentioned this case earlier. Late Friday afternoon. But I'm not going to say what Rabbi Shechter said. I'm giving him standard machlokes. Die Friday afternoon. So when the person dies, you are an onain, exempt from all mitzvot. Come Shabbos, we paskin like Rashi, we suspend aninus. So you have to daven Maariv, you have to make Kiddush, eat Shalosh Sudot, and everything. Comes Motzei Shabbos, aninus is reinstituted. You do not daven Maariv, you don't make Abdullah. The question is, on Sunday, after the burial, when you eat the Sudas Havra'ah, are you obligated to make Havdalah or not? Obligated to make Havdalah or not? Are you obligated or not? So, says what? Says the Maharam. Says Maharam. You're not obligated. Why? Because you've been bidcheh. Because when the critical zman of Havdalah arrived, you were not in a position to make Havdalah, because you were an onay. So now, if you assume, yesh dichui etzel mitzvos, that's it. Come Sunday, there's no obligation to make Havdalah. And if you hold ein dichui etzel mitzvos, so then the same thing. Come Sunday, you're obligated. Says the Rosh, again, I don't know what you're talking about. Because an onain is exempt from all mitzvot. So when Saturday night arrives, Motzoi Shabbos, You can't say that this person was pushed aside from the mitzvah. He is exempt from all mitzvahs. All mitzvahs are said. Therefore, the concept of dichui claims the rush doesn't apply, and undoubtedly you are obligated to make havdalah on Sunday after the Sudat Havra'ah.
Argument is much better by a couple.
I know, it's sharper. It's much sharper. I grant you that. I grant you that.
You can argue that the Russians is the fact that he's not
out. I grant you that. No doubt. I grant you that. But I found that a very interesting application of the machloikis, that the yesh dichui ein dichui, whether by this case of kata. It's a very interesting application to that particular case. To that particular case. Good. Point number two. Please, let's take a look at Rashi. It's towards the bottom of the page. It's the fifth wide, narrow line. The fifth narrow line of the Rashi, right before the lines get wide. And we're going to see a statement that Rashi makes, which is subject to enormous debate, and a very sharp insight of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Very sharp. Kedarkei Bakayish. Says Gemara. The Gemara now thinks, Velulav Misuka Lo Yalfina. Remember, this is one of the two things which could have been the point of contention, which the Gemara now thinks is not the point of contention. Nobody compares Lulav to Sukkah. Hilkach, says Tosfos, says Rashi, Mehashta Leka Lemifsalei, from now there is no reason to disqualify it, Ela Mishum Dichoi, only because of the concept of Dichoi. Because we've eliminated the possibility that Lulav Tzarech Agad is the debate. We've eliminated the possibility that Tasev Eloim and Asui is the reason. So the only thing left is Yesh Dichoi Rein Dichoi. The Kevon She'agdo Bipsul, since you tied the Hadas to the Arava and the Lulav while it was possible, V'nikra Alav Shem Lulav Shel Mitzvah V'shas Dichoi, and it's called a lulav and a hadas at the time when the mitzvah started. Nidcha li'olam, it has now been what? Rejected permanently. V'yaf agav d'lo nira v'nidchahu ela dichui me'ikara. Even though, and I have not really gone into this, there are two different types of issues of dichui available. There is one type of dichui which is Yisrael just mentioned it, dichui me'ikara, means something started out rejected and then became acceptable. That's the ones that we've had in our Gemara, where the Hadas was started out dachui, it had too many berries. There is another type of dichui where it's nireh, v'nidcheh, v'nireh. It was okay, it became disqualified, and then was okay. The korban case is a classic case. You don't put a korban on the mizbeach when the mizbeach is damaged. Nobody's so stupid to do that. What do? You put the korban on the mizbeach because the mizbeach was whole. So it was nireh, it was suitable. Then somebody came along, a madman came into the mikdash, and he chipped the mizbeach. Okay, now it's possible. You call in the mason, he now fixes the mizbeach, and it's suitable again. So that's the case of nireh, v'nidcheh, v'nireh. That's the real case of the discussion by korban. So Rashi just lets you know that our case of mitzvah is not exactly comparable to that case. Ella, what is this? Dachui me'ikara. This is a case where the Hadas never had a minute where the Hadas was okay. Because as Yom Tov started, it already came into Yom Tov, or into the Aguda, with more berries than leaves. V'hai d'nokak pluktayu b'miyotum b'Yom Tov. And that which the Gemara illustrates the case, that when did you eliminate the berries? On Yom Tov itself. Mishum distama. Basa de Agdehu. Because
probably by Yom Tov morning, he undoubtedly already had done what? What had he already done? He definitely made the Igud. Because on Yom Tov, you can't tie it together. Because if you hold, as I mentioned last week, Lulav Tzorach Agad, what type of a tie? Kesher Shel Kayama. You have to tie a knot. You're not allowed to tie knots on Yom Tov. V'i lo tzorich agad, and if you hold lulav ain tzorich agad, certainly you have to tell me that when did he knock off the berries on Yom Tov? Itzrich lemin kiti Yom Tov, mishum de'i lav de'kodesh hayom, akati lo chalala zman mitzvah, v'lo shem mitzvah lemikra dichoy. If Yom Tov had not yet arrived, let's assume it was Erev Yom Tov and he cut off the berries. This whole discussion would not get started. Because before Yom Tov arrives, it's not yet a mitzvah. If you hold Lulav Ein Tzorach Agad, when does this Hadas convert a piece of wood to what? To a mitzvah? When Yom Tov arrives. So now, when did you try to repair this Hadas, too many Hadas on Yom Tov? But if you hold Lulav Ein Tzorach Agad, and you remove the berries on Erev Yom Tov, everybody would say that the Hadas is acceptable. Because it has never been rejected. Why has it never been rejected? Because it never came to a time yet when the mitzvah could have taken place. If you hold Lulav Tzorach Agad, you can create the mitzvah on Erev Yom Tov by tying it together, as you are supposed to. But if you hold Lulav Ein Tzorach Agad, you must wait until the Yom Tov for this piece of wood to what? To become a mitzvah. To become a mitzvah. Now, when does Rashi say this Hadas became a mitzvah? At what point does the Hadas become a mitzvah? When did Rashi say that it becomes a mitzvah? We just read it. Kidesh Hayom. Correct, at night. Correct. The sun sets, the night of Sukkot has arrived, and it's already a mitzvah. Despite the fact that what? You can't be mekayem the mitzvah until the next morning. This is Shitas Rashi. I formulated objective. That even though the mitzvah, the performance of the mitzvah hinges on daylight, nonetheless, what brings this item to make it into a legitimate mitzvah is the sanctity of the Yom Tov. It is connected to the Kedusha Hayoim of the Yom Tov. And just as the Kedusha Hayoim of the Yom Tov starts at night, so too the Hadas is invested with character, with distinction as a mitzvah at night. At night. However, this halacha has many, many applications, according to Rashi. Many applications. For example, Rabotai, on Shabbos, first day of Shabbos is Sukkot, or Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Are you allowed to move around your Hadassim and Aravos on Shabbos? No. Why not? Why not? I have no use to that. So now I ask you, first night of Sukkot. Sukkot is a Tuesday. Monday night after sundown. Am I allowed to move my lulav around? Am I allowed to move it around or not?
Yeah.
Do I have no use for it? Good. Every Akron in the world says that according to Rashi, you're allowed to move it at night. Because even though in theory, the Kiyum HaMitzvah cannot take place until when? The next morning. But it's already Sukkot. And if it's already Sukkot, it can't be Mutzah. An article with which you are going to fulfill a mitzvah on Sukkot can't be Mutzah on Sukkot. Also, just give me another. When does it become huksa l'mitzvasa? we know that once you use something for a mitzvah, it cannot be used for your personal use. Right? You hang up decorations in the sukkah, an apple. An apple falls off. You're not allowed to eat it. It's mitzvah. You're not even on Chol HaMoed. Because it's set aside for the mitzvah. Mitzvah le mitzvah. When does this hadas, lulav, and etrog? Let's assume my etrog, I have five etrog. I put five etrog. And now, first time sukkah, I'm hungry, I want to make etrog jelly. Am I allowed to go ahead on the first night of sukkah, take one of the etrog and convert it to etrog jelly? Because it's not hooked till it's mitzvah yet. Says every akron in the name of Rashi, of course not. As soon as the sun sets, it's now what? It's now mitzvah set aside for the mitzvah. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Balat Hanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in Simon Tov Reish Mentes, he writes something spectacular, that the mitzvah of Arba Minim is not related to the Kedushas HaYom HaSukkos. The mitzvah of Arba Minim is not related to the Kedushas HaYom HaSukkos. In fact, he believes that no mitzvah observed on a Chag is actually related to the Kedushas HaYom of the Yom. It's not. And therefore, according to him, a lulav is mukta at night. Because you have no use for it whatsoever. During the day, it's okay. Because now there's a mitzvah to take. But the mere fact that the kedusha, the sanctity of sukkah starts at night, that doesn't address the lulav mukta. It doesn't address a shofar. It doesn't address anything. Mitzvahs are not necessarily related to the kedusha hayyot. So says the Balat Hanya. So says the Balat Hanya. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said, once suggested, that it depends. It depends. And he gave the following possible illustration. Let's assume, Rabotai, that the halacha of Pesach at the Seder, we would be making the Seder during the day, but not at night. Sedarim of Pesach would be during the day, and not at night when you're worried about sleeping, chatzos, working a whole day. Get a good night's sleep and you have a seder for lunch for a couple of hours. Wouldn't be such a terrible idea. Wouldn't he say, it's not for the fact that this is my aristocratical masters, but other than that, it would be a good idea. Fine. Says Rav Aaron, the matzah would halakhically be called a matzah the night before. The morrow would not. The morrow would not. The matzah would, the morrow would not. Sukkos, listen carefully. Let's assume for just a moment that the halacha was you only sit in the sukkah daylight hours, not at night. Let's assume you would sit in the sukkah only daylight hours, not at night. Says Rav Aaron, the sukkah would be a sukkah nonetheless at night, and the lulav, I would agree with the Balat Hanya. Wherein lies the difference? The difference is that sukkah and matzah are obviously related to the Kedushas HaYom of the Yom Tov. How do I know that the Kedushas HaYom of the Yom Tov of Sukkot is hinges to the Sukkot? Because we call it Chag HaSukkot and Chag HaMatzos. We never call it Chag HaLulav. We never call it Chag HaMoreh. Therefore, listen to the proof that Rav Aaron suggested. Listen to this proof. There is a Hekesh, a very famous Hekesh, called Tesvav Tesvav. Hekesh, Tesvav Tesvav. You compare the 15th of Nisan and the 15th of Tishrei. Everybody's heard. You're not allowed to eat the first kizayis of sukkah, you have to eat the kizayis of sukkah, of the bread in the sukkah, when? After dawn. How do I know that? Does it say that in the Torah? Because it says by matzah, by erev tochu matzah. Good, so make a hand, says about it. Says the Torah to Kahanim, Yochol, based on this hekesh, perhaps you have to eat matzah in the sukkah. Yochol asks the Torah to Kahanim, every single sukkah, you should have to eat a kizayis of matzah in the sukkah. Why? Because Tesvot, Tesvot. Asks the Torah to Kahanim, Yochol, where should you have your Seder? In the sukkah. It never asks that on the first night of Pesach you should take Avraham Avinu. Never asks. It's a stupid question. It never asks that you should eat Maror or have a Seder. You should eat Maror when? On Sukkot. Never asks that. It asks you should eat Matzah. Why, says Rav Aaron, what's the Hava mean of the Torah's Kahanim? Because the Hava mean of the Torah's Kahanim is to make a Hekesh between the Kedusha Tayyoyim Tetzvav of Nisan and the Kedusha Tayyoyim Tetzvav of Tishra. So whatever mitzvah is hinges, defines the characteristic of what? Of the Chag? That could be imposed based on the Hekesh. An extraneous mitzvah, there is no Havamina whatsoever. Therefore, Rav Aaron said, in this debate between Rashi and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he agrees that Sukkah and Matzah are mitzvot which are intrinsically related to the Chag. All other mitzvot are not necessarily emanating as a result of the Kedushas Hayoyim, but our mitzvahs which are Kodesh Baruch has to assign that particular day, but not necessarily emerging from the Kedushas Hayoy. Sometimes it sounds a little ludicrous that Lulav should not be part of the Kedushas Hayoy of Sukkot, but his point of seeing what questions the Torah Kahanim asks is indeed a very sharp insight.
Well,
yes?
But a Pesach, though, you do say,
there's never a word Chag HaPesach in the Torah. Chag HaPesach is the 14th day of the month of Nisan. Chag HaMatzos is the 15th day of the month of Nisan. Whenever the Torah calls it Pesach Lashem, it's referring to the 14th Erev Yantiv when you are Makriv the Korban Pesach. Without exception, no exceptions to the rule, the Yantiv of Pesach is never called Pesach in the Torah. It's always called Chag HaMatzos. Well, I'm going to invite the Gemara now. So now the Gemara is going to reject the premise that we just said. Answers the Gemara. Lo. Dekuli alma lo arminin yeshdichu leitzel mitzvos. The debate between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim has nothing to do with yeshdichu leitzel mitzvos. Everybody is of the opinion that there is no concept of dichui when it comes to mitzvos. So then why does Rabbi Lezer say that what? That if you pluck the leaves off the, if you pluck the berry off the hadas, is it possible? V'hacha, b'melech lulav misukkah kamiflagim. Here the debate is whether I should apply the rule of pasiv alayim and asui, which undoubtedly applies to sukkah, do I extend it to lulav or not? Mar Savar, Rabbi Lozer, Reb Tzadok holds, Yalfina Lulav Misukkah. You compare Lulav to Sukkah. Just as by Lulav, just as by Sukkah, there is a halacha that you must engage in the final act to make a kosher Sukkah, so too you must engage in the final act of tying the knot to make a kosher Hadas. Hence, if the Hadas had more berries than leaves, and then you cut off the berries, it's in violation of the principle of passive alignment asui, which is recorded by Sukkah, and we learn out Lula from Sukkah. Umar Savan, the Chachamim say, no.
Lo yalfina lulav misukkah. We do not compare lulav to sukkah. If you don't compare it, there is absolutely no reason to disqualify this hadas whose berries the karof on Yom Tov. Or, if you would prefer, ve'iba yisem, if you would like, isviralon lulav tzarech agad, if you hold lulav tzarech agad, here comes the debate. Everybody says, what? You can learn out lulav from sukkah. But the lulav tzarech agad from mitzvah. Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim are arguing whether or not you have to create an igud, whether you have to create a chefter shel mitzvah. Uveplukta kahani tanoi. The machloikis, Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim, actually revolves around another machloikis. The son, you will learn to the braisa. Lulav, bein agud, bein she'eino agud, kasher. A lulav, whether you tie the hadassim and the aravas to the lulav, or bein she'eino agud, whether you don't tie the hadassim and the aravas together, is kasher. I mentioned to you the Bahag Shita, we'll learn in another block, what's the machloikis of the Bahag and the Rabbeinu Tam? The Rabbeinu Tam says, you cannot take them one after another, even if you hold lulav and sarachaka. You must hold them at the same time, they just don't have to be tied together. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, agud kasher, she'eno agud pasul. Rabbi Yehuda holds, a hadas and a rava that are tied to the lulav is acceptable. A hadas and a rava that is not tied together is totally pasul. My time with the Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that you must tie the hadas and the arava to the lulav? Ksiv hacha ulekachtem lachem. Here by the mitzvah of Arba Minim, it says ulekachtem lachem. Uksiv hasam, and it says there by Korban Pesach, ulekachtem agudas ezov. You have to take a bunch of grass and utvaltem badom asher basaf, and you take that grass, dip it in the blood, and you smear it on the doorposts of your houses in Mitzrayim. Ma lahalon ba'aguda, just as over there where it says ulekachtem by the grass, it was tied because it says agudas ezov. It wasn't just loose grass but tied. Afkan, here too, aguda, here too where the word says ulekachtem, it means you must tie the lulav and the hadassim and the aravos to the lulav. Zerabanan, let's lehulekicha lekicha. And the Rabbanan, they don't make this drash of lekicha, lekicha. They don't make this drash of lekicha, lekicha. There's some discussion, what do you don't mean you don't make this discussion? It sounds like it's a zeh reshava. And there is generally a rule that all zeh reshavas, like are passed down from generation to generation. Must be he didn't have it in his school, because nobody argues about exemption. But there's some discussion about it. But here the Gemara says, the Chachamim never heard that there is a Gzeirah Shava of Ulekachtem Lachem Priyei Tzadar to Ulekachtem Agudas Ezot. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana Lahodatana Rabbana. Which of the two would now be the author of the following opinion? Lulav Mitzvah La'ogdo. The im lo agdo kosher. There is a mitzvah to tie the lulav, but if you didn't do so, that's okay too. Ask the Gemara Mani, who could possibly be the author of that brisa? E Rabbi Yehuda, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, ki lo agdo amai kosher. If you did not tie the hadassim and the aravos to the lulav, why is it kosher? Rabbi Yehuda says it must be tied. So why did the evet is it kosher? E Rabbanan, if you hold like the Rabbanan, why is there a mitzvah mechatchila to tie it? Mitzvah, my mitzvah ka'avid? What mitzvah is there if you deny what? The gzeirah shava ulekachtem ulekachtem? Answers the Gemara, Leila, Rabbanan. U'mitzvah, what mitzvah is it? Bishum zekei levan ve'iru. That it's a halach and hidur. That if even though al pidin it's perfectly okay not to have the hadas and the arava tied to one another, nonetheless bidi it's better to lechatchila, rather it's better to do so. It's better to do so, and that's our psak.
We paskin like the Chachamim that you need not tie the Hadas and the Arava together. But l'chatchila, we do so because it's for some reason considered noi, for some reason considered beauty, more beautiful if you take them together all tied as opposed to having them separated. That's Alapsa. But in relationship to our Gemara, the machloikis between Rabbi Lazar Rav Tzadok and the Chachamim, if you cut the berries, might be revolving around Lulav Tzarech Agad. If you hold Lulav Ein Tzarech Agad, that means the Hadas never became Pasul. Why did it never become Pasul? Because it's never part of a group, it's not part of the Chetza. Therefore, if you cut the berries off on Yantav, say the Chachamim, it's okay. But what? According to Rabbi Lazar Rav Tzadok, he holds the Luv Tzarech Agad. And as a result, if you hold the Luv Tzarech Agad, once you put it into the Igud, and there are more berries, it is automatically puzzled. And then we'll apply the rule of Yalfinan Lulav Nisukkah. We apply that whatever applies to Sukkah applies to Lulav. Just as the Psul of Pasav Eloi Min Asui applies to Sukkah, it applies to Lulav as well. All right, stop here, Rabotai.